If you have a Bible, please open your Bible again to John 3:16. And I'm going to read that. It says, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he gave his, that who, I'm sorry, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I'd like to speak this evening about rescue the perishing and focus in on that word perishing. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the blessing of just being here in church tonight. Father, we thank you for our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us with his precious blood. And Father, we know that the world is a mission field. Father, we know that you loved, Lord, you loved the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, who shed his blood to pay, Lord, the price for our sins. Father, we just pray tonight you'd bless your word. God, we pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you, may that person be called and drawn to Christ to be saved. Father, we'll thank you and praise you for that in Christ's name. Amen. The word perish is a very interesting word. It means, basically, that the person who dies without Christ is going to die in their sins, without the hope of salvation. It means that that person who dies without Christ will have his name actually blotted out of the book of life. I personally believe that Christ is a savior of all men, especially those who believe. I believe he died for all men. But the Bible says that a person who, of course, does not accept Christ as Savior, that person will perish and will not have that eternal life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7, the name of the wicked shall rot. In the book of Revelation, it says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Many times we don't really comprehend what that word means, but it's something that basically means that that person, when they meet Jesus Christ, will not meet Christ as a Savior, but as a judge. And that's very sad. The Bible says in the book of 2 Thessalonians and that Christ will come as a judge in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew, I think it's chapter 13, it talks about those who have not believed in Christ and will be cast out into outer darkness, and there'll be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then later on in Matthew chapter 25, in verse 41, the person that has died in their sins without Christ will meet Christ and hear the words of Christ telling them, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And so I believe it is our holy duty as blood-bought, born-again believers to rescue the perishing. I believe that that is what God wants us to do. And so I'd like to speak about that this evening. How can we rescue the perishing? Number one, we need to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says that. If you want to go turn your Bible to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Christ says, "And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." This past year, of course, we all lived through 2020, COVID-19. And according to the news that originated in Wuhan, China, and from that one laboratory, if that's where it originated from, it spread to the entire world, bringing, of course, death, misery, and destruction. We as Christians, we have the gospel. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and then the Greek. And I believe that we need to spread this message of the gospel into all the world, to all people, in all places, not bringing death and destruction, but life and liberty and happiness to those who believe. I believe we need to spread the gospel to the 1.4 billion people that live in China. We need to also spread it to the 1.3 billion people in India. About 80% are Hindus. We need to think about the 1.2 billion people in the 1040 window in Africa that still do not have Christ And then, of course, our family, the Campanas, we've gone to Mexico, 127 million people. When we arrived there 25 years ago, when I arrived there, it was only about 90 million. And so it's grown about 40 million since then. And we have to realize that Christ is the only hope for these 7.8 billion people upon the face of the planet. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved." The only hope for this world, as lost and dying world, is Jesus Christ. Those who die without Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, they have no hope and they're without God in the world. Can you imagine that? The people that are in India that are worshiping these 300 million gods. And the Bible says, in reality, they're just following doctrine of demons. They're just worshiping idols, the work of men's hands. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have hands, but they can't actually work. They have feet, but they can't walk. And so we need, I believe, to rescue the perishing. We need to mobilize as a church. Christ commanded us to go. And we need to get up from or out of our comfort zone. And we need to realize that the only hope for people is that they hear the gospel. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10, if you'd like to turn there as well, that the only way people can be saved is by hearing the message of Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But then he poses that question, but how can they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how should they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how should they hear without a preacher? And a couple of verses down the road it says, "Therefore faith comes by hearing," verse 17, "so that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God." And so we have to go. We have to get out of the salt shaker and we need to get into the world. We need to go, and realize that this COVID-19 was really just a wake-up call to spread out, kind of like in Acts, I think it was Acts chapter 8, and God allowed the persecution to come to the church. And the Bible says that everyone was just leaving Jerusalem, and they were preaching the word. And of course, shortly down the road, the Samaritan church was started with the evangelist Philip. So we need to go. Christ said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, "Therefore go and make disciples and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." And so really, what we have to do as a church is we need to be training, well, actually winning people to Christ, baptizing, and then training our young people, especially, to realize that the only hope for this world is Jesus Christ. There is no hope in any other religion. I don't want to knock any religions. Like I said, I was raised in a Roman Catholic background. There's a lot of good doctrine. But all that zeal, but it wasn't according to Bible knowledge. It's a work salvation. And so I thank God. I thank God from the background I have. But you know what? What we have now as Bible-believing Christians is the only hope, eternal life. And so woe unto us if we just sit back and do nothing. The Apostle Paul said that, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." And I believe we need to understand that. We as American Christians, we have an opportunity to reach the world. We have really the economic resources to do it. We have the manpower. We have great churches like this one here, Beacon Baptist Church. And so by just sitting back and do nothing, we're basically voting for the world to die and perish. And that is not what it's all about. I think about the book of 2 Kings, and there was a terrible famine in the city of Samaria. And there was four lepers that are kind of sitting at the city gate, you know, contemplating, what should we do? You know, if we just sit here, we're going to die. If we go in the city, there's no bread, we'll die. And so they said, well, we'll just fall out to the Syrian army. Maybe they'll have compassion on us. Maybe they'll give us some bread. And so they took a gamble. They went out. And as many of you know, God made them hear, the Syrian army, that is, a loud blast from heaven that just kind of put the fear of God in the Syrian army. And so they thought that They had hired some kings, some armies to fight against them, so they just fled, leaving a Walmart, basically, in the desert, or Publix. And they were just enjoying the fruits of this discovery, going from one tent to another, having a party, finding gold, silver, hiding under, you know, this tent and another tent. And all of a sudden it occurred to them, in fact, if you want to see with your in your Bibles, the 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 9. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of glad or good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household." What were they saying? They're saying, you know what? This is a day of glad tidings. We found enough bread to save all the hundreds and thousands of people that are perishing in the city of Samaria, which is just right down the road. But they're thinking, you know, every day that we do nothing, we're committing the sin, not of commission, but of omission. The Bible says that he that knows to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. And so they realize, you know, by holding back this bread, committing the sin of omission, they're voting for all those hundreds of thousands of people in Samaria to perish. And you know what? Every day that we hold back, and not just financially, you know, I know sometimes the missionaries, you know, they're called buchinaries. but you know what? You can hold back by just not going. You know, it might be right here in Jupiter. You know, just instead of, you know, going out, you know, and I don't know when you have your visitation or soul winning, but you've, you know, planned to just kind of sleep in, you know, or watch the cartoons or whatever you do on Saturday mornings, you know, go, you know, and sailing. You know what? By holding back, in a way, you and me are voting for those people that we could have spoken to perish. You know, that's not what it's all about. You know, God gave his son that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Something much better, everlasting life. And so we need, like those four lepers, to say, hey, we've got it. We've got the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. Amen? He said, he that comes to me will not hunger. He that believes in me shall not thirst. And so we need to just basically be willing to give out like those four lepers, you know, to go and tell the world that, hey, you know, there's plenty of bread. You know, Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. And that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what we're doing down in Juarez. We're just basically 3 months before we start a church, we're just knocking on doors, telling people, you know what, God loves you. He sent his son. He showed his love so much, he actually was willing to send his son, who became God, who became man. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. And if you just be willing to repent of your sins, turn away from whatever it is you're doing wrong, turn from darkness to light, and accept Christ by faith, God promised you your ticket, your passport to heaven, eternal life. It's free. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not by the, you know, praying the rosary. It's not by keeping all the sacraments and, you know, doing your first Holy Communion. It's just simply by repenting of your sins and asking Christ to save you. And that's the good news. And I believe that we need to be willing as a church to pay any price to do that. Like that saying, we need to be willing to save the lost at any cost. And it's you know, it's true. I mean, we have everything. We as American Christians, you know, have it made in the shade. Our salvation is secure. Christ said in John chapter 10, if you want to see that, John chapter 10 and verse 27, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You know, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you have the promise that your eternal life, your spiritual life insurance policy will never end. Christ says you'll never perish. Amen? That's good news. We're heaven bound. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. I mean, what do we have to fear? Basically, we're just waiting for the trumpet to sound, and we're looking at COVID as another sign. Hey, praise God, Jesus is coming back. Lift up your eyes, your redemption draweth near, and we're, basically raptured, we're ready, rapture bound, heaven bound. And so I believe we need to be willing to win the loss at any cost. Consider some different missionary biographies. They used to call Africa the white man's graveyard. This is, of course, back during, I think it was the 1800s. And hundreds of missionaries were just being sent out of England and dying, some of them the next day from malaria. And some of them the next week or 2 weeks. Maybe some of you have read some of the biographies. It's just amazing. But they kept on sending the missionaries, the white missionary, to the dark continent. And eventually they made that beachhead and they went inland, and the rest is history. Now there's hundreds, thousands of churches that have been planted, Christian churches in Africa, where I was a member for 25 years. Madison Avenue Baptist Church sent out John and Betty Stamm. They were loyal missionaries to the country of China, and they were executed by beheading in front of a terrified crowd. And baby Helen, their little baby, was left by mom in a sleeping bag, and then later was rescued by a Chinese evangelist. His name was Mr. Lo. Consider some of the writers of the New Testament. John Mark, according to tradition, was tied to a back of a horse and dragged through the cobblestone streets with his head bouncing off the street and the stone until his brains actually fell out. The Apostle John, many of you know, was boiled in hot water and survived. Amazing. And then, of course, his enemies were so flustered, they just banished him to the island of Patmos and to be forgotten forever, but God had other plans, and he received the revelation of the end times. We have, of course, today the book of Revelation. William Tyndale, who translated the Tyndale Bible, from which we now have our King James Bible, was betrayed by a good, well, I don't want to say good friend, but he was betrayed by a friend, a supposed friend, and he was burned at the stake. But praise God, we have the King James Bible today. Amen. And so I believe we need to leave the 99. We're called to leave the 99 and basically go to the mountains and save that lost sheep. It might be in the 1040 window, like I mentioned, where there's just probably 90% of the world population there has never even heard the gospel clearly presented one single time. There's 2,000 languages that still do not have a Bible translated in their dialect or their language. Really, the plea tonight, if God's calling you to be a missionary, be a missionary. If you want to get the most bang for your buck, if you want to lay up treasure in heaven, if you feel any sort of a call to do it, especially if you're young. My wife Sylvia and I, we're not forcing Beck and Danny to be missionaries. We pray for them. We pray for them every day. But you know what? It's their choice. They can't be called by dad and mom to be missionaries. But if God is calling you to do it, it is exciting. I have so many stories I could tell you. One of the guys in our church, he actually had bought out, I don't know how many policemen. His name is Brother Omar Beltran. And he was one of the big shots in Juarez, the drug guys, drug cartel guys. And he had all these policemen paid off. And He fell into bad times. He was arrested. He was, I don't know what happened, but he actually was in a jail in Chaparral, New Mexico, in the United States. And a 90-year-old preacher went into that jail and won him to Christ. He got saved. And I don't know how he, I guess he got deported when he came out. And I was knocking on doors once, I think it was a Saturday. And I met him, invited him to church, and he came out. He said, yeah, I got saved. Well, are you growing? And not really. He said, well, I said, why don't you come out? You know, and so he started being a faithful member. And he's a Sunday school teacher now, so that's pretty exciting. Another guy, Luis Costa. Big guy. Bus driver, one of our bus drivers in the first church in Juarez. Luis Acosta probably weighs about 300 pounds. He would have a backpack filled with marijuana or cocaine, and he would run up to the border wall and then just kind of like toss the thing over like a football, and then there would be a runner who would catch it and kind of run the drugs to wherever, you know, the weigh station to sell them, of course, on the American market. Anyhow, he attended a Muppet presentation. We're doing the Muppets and then, you know, the music and the gospel. He got saved. It was at a park. And he became one of our best bus drivers. I think he was doing that for like 8-9 years. Right, honey? It was just amazing. And so if God's calling you to be a missionary, do it. Don't hold back. If you can't be a missionary, then support one. Win souls here, and then support the people that are going to the 1040 window, to Africa, to China, to Mexico, wherever you're going. You know, you might be thinking, well, you know, is it worth it? It's worth it. It's worth it. Let me just check out this verse, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. And Christ says, he that receives a prophet, you could probably interchange that word with preacher or missionary. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive what? A prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive what? A righteous man's reward. And so that's the proof that as you financially support somebody who's winning souls and baptizing converts and starting churches and starting Christian schools, wherever. You know, Christ said go into all the world. So it's the whole globe, 7.8 billion people. As that missionary is winning those souls, you are actually earning fruit into your spiritual 401k. Amen. You're basically depositing whatever it is, you know, in that spiritual bank account, dividends that are going to pay off for all eternity. Another example is King David. David went down to battle with 400 men. 200 men who were too weary stayed back home. And as they came back with the spoils of war, they're excited, you know, gold, silver, whatever it was, garments. And the men of Baal said, hey, you know, it's all for us. You know, these guys are too weary. They don't get anything. And David's like, hey, that's not right. No. These guys who stayed back, you know, ground support, they deserve also a part of it. And so David said in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 24, but as his part is that goeth down to the battle, that's the missionary. They're going down to the battle zone. So shall his part be that tarries by the stuff. And then it says, they shall part alike. That's 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 24. They shall part alike. So there's the goer and there's the giver, you know. They're kind of like a team. And so if you can just look at it that way. And then lastly, we need to pray. We need to pray. I'm worried about America. I'm worried about the young people in America. Really worried about the young people, I guess, because now, you know, we have teenage kids. Well, actually, Becky's 20, so she's actually past the teens. And there's a lot of apathy. There's a lot of indifference. You know, the Bible says that be not deceived. Evil conversations corrupt good manners. And I believe that in this new technological age of social media and iPhones, and I'm not against it. I love technology. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But I believe it's capturing the hearts and minds of young people. And so I believe we need to pray. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for revival here in America. Most of you probably know the verse in Chronicles. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and then seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I believe there's a lot of wicked things going on in America, then God says, I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. So that's positive. I mean, I don't know about you, but I love this country. Right? I think this is a great, great, great country. But it's also, we have to admit, it has been a missionary sending lighthouse for the last 200 years. But as that light goes out, like Christ says, no one lights a lamp to hide under what? A bushel. And it's like those four greedy lepers, you know, they're hiding the silver, they're hiding the gold underneath their tents. And what was that gold doing? What was that silver doing? Nothing. Nothing. It was just rotting. It was just rusting out. And they're like, what are we doing? There's a whole city over there that's perishing. We need to rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. And so they woke up. They say, let's go and tell. Hey, you know, there's plenty, not just for us, you know, us four no more. There's plenty for all the thousands of people there. And we need to see that too. You know, there's plenty for us here in America, but you know, there's plenty for the thousands and millions of people in Mexico and the millions that are in Asia and Africa. You know, there's plenty to go around. You know, Christ said that. Luke chapter 6, I think it is, if you want to see it in your Bible. And verse 38, I think it is. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with it shall be measured to you again. And so I like that first part. You know, give, and it shall be what? Given. The give and go. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, there are those who scatter, and yet what? They're increased. And then others that are holding back more than they should, and they come to what? To poverty. And so, you know, that's the heartbeat of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. And I believe when we as a church stop giving, whether it be your life, you know, as a missionary, you're basically saying, okay, this is it. I'm going down to Juarez. I'm going down to Mexico. Whether it be your money or whether it be your time, you know, just praying. You know, I don't know if you have a prayer group here, or I know a lot of churches have a ladies' missionary prayer group, and the ladies get together and they pray, and you're giving your time. You know, you could be out playing tennis. You could be out, you know, alongside the pool. But you're praying for a missionary, you know. You're praying for your pastor. You're praying for, you know, people to be saved in Jupiter and Florida. It's not a waste. It's not a waste. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails what? Much. And so, in conclusion, I just want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to give. That's the heartbeat of God. You know, when God gave his son, it was to rescue the perishing. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That passport to heaven. It's free. So why be selfish about it? You know, it's free. We need to rescue the perishing. Save the lost at any cost. The Bible says in the book of James, I'll end with this, James chapter 5, verse 20, if you want to look at James chapter 5, verse 20, it says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Isn't that exciting? Maybe this week you're going to share the gospel with somebody here in Jupiter or beyond, and by accepting Christ as Savior, the blood of Christ is going to hide the multitude of sins. That guy might be like the guy here, you know, I was telling about back, I should say, in Juarez, a drug cartel guy. We have guys in our church that have actually been hitmen. They call them in Mexico sicarios. We have sicarios in our church. So don't come to our church. Amen? Don't visit us. Don't even think about it. I'm kidding. He professed faith in Christ. I hope he changes. It's a new church, so I don't know. You know, the guy's really changed. But anyhow, he's coming. But that's exciting. So share the gospel this week. Be a missionary where you're at. Amen? If you want to come down to Mexico, hey, we'll set you up with some good tacos, put you up at our house. You want to preach? Pastor Blaylock, if you want to come down and preach, I'll translate for you. Brother Kevin, is it? If you come down. So, God bless you. Pastor Blaylock, if you'd like to come.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.